Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. Your boy TNJ Radio, second time we're blasting off, and we really appreciate the support for everybody out there listening that took the time out to schedule to tune in tonight. Me and my main man, Jay Wells, a.k.a. Mr. Celebrate Life, you know, we really want to familiarize ourselves with you. And then, you know, we're going to really jump off into this topic because the show goes from 6:30 to 7, so we don't really have a lot of time to kind of play around, so we really want to get right into it. You're listening to T. Foster, and my background is all black power, all power to the people, and most importantly, I'm a philanthropist by trade, and I'm a fundraiser for a living. And so what I try and do is look for ways to incorporate philanthropy in everything that I do to improve the conditions of people of color, but in particular black folks, because that's just where the most of my interest is. And so it's only natural that I do that. And I'll allow my brother Jay Wells, who is also a part of TNJ Radio, to jump in here and give you a little info about himself.
Good afternoon, my people. Again, my name is Jay Wells. Like my brother Trav, I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, and I have a background primarily in the finance and marketing and advertising industries. So we both come from similar backgrounds, and our number one focus is uplifting and empowering our people. That's something that we kind of just lost among us, and that's something we want to kind of focus on and emphasize.
Absolutely. And, you know, this program is really based about and centered on solution-based change. You know, a lot of programs out there talk about all the issues that are going on in the black community. But one thing me and Wells realized was that a lot of folks don't really talk about the solutions. And we're all about action. We're all about, okay, if there's an issue here, it's one thing to keep talking about it, but it's another thing to have an open-ended conversation and, you know, really get to the root of the problem and figure out what the solution is, because at the end of the day, if there's no solution, then there's really no need in talking about the problem. And so today we're going to be talking about the topic of this conversation is respect our queens. And it really kind of spawned from recently, you know, in the recent past, we've just been hearing and seeing a lot of negativity in terms of the way black women are viewed and treated, and not only in our personal lives, but in everyday society and also in the media, most importantly, because lots of folks get their views on folks from the media. And so what we wanted to do was kind of talk about that, but not only talk about it, but figure out ways that we can combat that and really give you something that you can take with you back to your communities and be successful and proactive with that. And one of the main people that we, Wells and I, actually have been reading and really admire is Bell Hooks. And if you don't know Bell Hooks, I recommend that you read up on her, because she's a really educated sister, and she is rooted in feminism. And I don't necessarily call myself a feminist or anything along those lines, but I do agree with a lot of her teachings and things of that nature. And so I wanted to open up the dialogue with a quote from one of her readings. And the book is called We Real Cool, Black Men and Masculinity. And I think that a lot of the issues that face black men or black women are rooted in some of the issues that black men face. And so this is really, it was powerful, and I thought that it would be a great way for us to get the dialogue started. So here it goes. They wanted black women to conform to the gender norms set by white society. They wanted to be recognized as men, as patriarchs, by other men, including white men. Yet they cannot assume this position if black women were not willing to conform to the prevailing sexist gender norms. Many black women who endured white supremacist patriarchal domination during slavery did not want to be dominated by black men after manumission. And manumission is simply after they were freed. So once they were freed, they didn't want to be continue to be dominated by anybody else, including black men. And that's really powerful because, you know, black men were the next ones that would be coming in contact with our women. And so I think that's a great point to start off the conversation, that we want to talk about mental and verbal abuse. And, well, come back in here and you know, how do you feel about the state of verbal and mental abuse when it comes to the way we treat our sisters?
I want to start off with a statistic that I saw, and it explains a whole bunch of things to me, and it really kind of touched base on something that you see heavily within our culture. And all of these stats come from the American Bar Association, and it starts off saying, generally black women experience similar levels of intimate partner victimization as all other age and race categories. So black women aren't the only women being victimized by men, but the thing that really stood out to me where it says black females experience intimate partner violence at a rate 35% higher than that of white females and about 22 times the rate of other races. So when you think about that, you have sisters are being put in positions where they are either being verbally, mentally, or sexually abused by people that they believe love them. And these are people that you're supposed to be in an intimate relationship with, someone that you believe is your provider, your partner. And women are often, black women especially, are often put in situations where they have to be the provider. And so when I was saying that, the aspect of having gender roles is kind of out of the window in a lot of aspects. And with those statistics, it's really kind of one of those things that's kind of like, where do you go from here? It's really one of those things where you really wonder what situations are men going through that make women, that put women into those vulnerable spots. And especially when you think about the powerful, the strong, the willing black women that we know and that we relate, that we were kind of raised by and we see on a day-to-day basis, it really makes you think of what they were trying to compensate for. And one of the things that I always try to emphasize when talking to people, whether it's just doing mentoring or just talking to a friend or a family member, is that you have to learn how to lead. You have to learn how to speak in a way that people believe in you and people want to work with you. And that works directly within a relationship.
Absolutely. And if you have any thoughts that you want to share with us, please feel free to call in. The phone number to call in is 347-324-5360. Once again, 347-324-5360 if you want to chime in on this topic of respecting our queens. And one of the things that I've always really, you know, held on to and thought was really helpful for me was I've always tried to be really intentional about the way that I talk to people and our women in particular, and what I say to them, because I know that words cut more than actions a lot of the times. And when it comes to the respect factor, that's huge to me, because you can, I'll use an example of, if you tell, you know, your girlfriend, your wife, your significant other that you look fat, right? Well, once you say that, that sticks in her mind for a long time. And now she's insecure. Now she's feeling, well, maybe I am fat. Maybe I do need to change. Maybe I am a little, you know, feeling a little insignificant and things of that nature. And really being able to value the true power of words as opposed to thinking that you can say something like that and it doesn't really resonate with that individual. And I think that's one of the main things that we as brothers can do to help our women out in terms of, you know, being really respectful of the things that we say. And, well, we were having a conversation earlier today where I was telling you that I don't say shut up to women and to our, you know, our black sisters, not because I'm holier than thou or anything along those lines, but I just think that when you talk to a woman, you should approach her and say certain things out of respect. And by saying shut up, even though it's not necessarily calling her a B or a H, it's almost along those same lines because it's showing that lack of respect. And that is almost a trickle-down effect to other behaviors that could come down the line.
I couldn't agree more, brother. And that's one of the major things that culturally we need to kind of ward off. Culturally, you kind of see people demean another person to try to make themselves feel better. And that happens a lot in relationships where people are so caught up in different emotions, they can't necessarily communicate with each other. Instead of just saying, hey, how are you doing? It's, oh, you look fat. What's up? And it's a defense mechanism for people. And with male-female interaction, a lot of men aren't comfortable with where they are compared to the woman that they're dating or their counterpart or the woman that they're interested in. They tend to think, let me crack a little low-key joke. But to that person, it's not necessarily a low-key joke. It's more so, hey, that was kind of messed up. You know, it's like, why are you talking to me in this manner? When you want to date me or I'm interested in you, things of that nature. And people try to say it's a defense mechanism, but it's really not. It's people just, I hate to say it, but they just don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle themselves accordingly. They don't know how to be cordial. They don't understand the true meaning of, hey, let me show you some affection. And that's something that black men especially have trouble doing, just showing affection or giving a term of endearment instead of just saying something rude, which is always the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, it's way easier. It's way easier to be rude as opposed to saying something kind to somebody. And once again, if you're out there listening, we really appreciate it if you want to call in and share your thoughts. Phone number 347. Area code 324-5360, area code 347-324-5360. The show airs every Wednesday from 6:30 to 7 p.m., so we look forward to, you know, having these dialogues on a weekly basis and really getting to know you all and you all getting to know us as well. One thing that I wanted to hit on, Wells, and get your opinion on is images in the media when it comes to respecting our black women, because as time has gone on, I've noticed that for one reason or another, the images, and really not even conjured up by CNN or somebody like that, the images that we're creating on our own, whether it be, primarily social media sites where, you know, there's a lot of tomfoolery going on, whether it be on Instagram and things of that nature. How do you think the images in the media have started to affect the way that men respect our sisters?
I really believe the images in the media have created the twerk video. You know what I mean? I think the images in the media have glorified some of the worst things in our culture. Instead of allowing our music to flourish, which, I mean, we're fans of hip-hop. We love the culture. We grew up in it, you know what I mean? But the media has taken something that we grew up with, something that means a lot to us culturally, and turns it into a negative. And a lot of that has created a larger form of the degradation of women. And you have sisters out here just thinking, like, hey, if I wear this waist shaper and get some booty shots or something, that's going to make me more attractive. That's going to make people want to sing about me, rap about me, and talk about me. Instead of just letting sisters know, hey, sweetie, it's okay to rock your afro. You don't need to put on a pound of makeup to be beautiful. We've made people feel like they need to they can wear blonde hair. When we all know blonde is not a natural color for hair for black women. But we've created an environment where sisters feel like they need to do things like that. And you have people like Nicki Minaj, because she doesn't even look the same as her. She can't be more than 25, and she doesn't look nearly as the way she did in those high school yearbook pictures. She's like three shades lighter, she's physically matured in different ways that just doesn't make sense. And it's like culturally, I really think the depictions in the media have made us feel like we need to conform to that European standard, and not even with the European standard, go beyond that to a fake standard that's not naturally ours. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's funny because when you say that, like, the first thing I think about is Delicious, and I'm not banging on Delicious. I'm not hating, you know. I mean, if she was my sister, I would probably, you know, say something to her about it. But then that's another story where, you know, you see somebody or you see one of our sisters doing something that, you know, is kind of disrespectful, but then you don't want to say anything because, you know, you don't want to be this patriarchal male type of situation where you're coming in and telling her what to do with her body, because at the end of the day it is hers and things of that nature. So you can kind of be, you know, treading on some thin ice. But, you know, I think about Delicious and her her Instagram page, and I know Delicious has at least a daughter from what I understand, and she has to be close to 40 years old, I'm guessing, at this point. And all of her imagery on her Instagram page and everything that I see indirectly, because I don't, I mean, I know about her page, but I don't go to her page. I see, you know, people posting videos of her, and it just so happens to come across my timelines and things of that nature on whatever site I'm on, and it's her twerking, it's her just walking away from the camera or what have you. You know, and it's just booty shots. It's just body. It's just those types of things. It's nothing that makes you wonder, well, what's going on with Delicious as a person? And I think that's a huge portion of it and kind of what we want to get into in terms of, like, the exploitation piece, where, you know, is that exploitation? Is she exploiting herself? Is that, you know, a larger effect of the society that we live in? But she's an instant example of that when I think of, you know, images in the media, and then the exploitation is almost a direct, you know, a direct influence or a direct part of that.
And that is definitely, when you think about it, you think about, like, the early 90s and stuff like that. Sisters used to get teased for having, oh, she's got a, her butt is too fat. Oh, she's fat. She's not even, that's not sexy. And that's what the European, again, that goes back to the whole European way of thinking, where people thought that was unattractive. But within our culture, that's something that we've always appreciated. Now the mainstream media has decided that, oh, man, she's so shapely, she's so curvy. Let's amplify that. And she has used that. She has exploited herself to gain an income. And I'm not sure if she's how much she gets for hosting parties and things of that nature. But that has turned into a revenue stream. Like, you look at these internet models, they really feel like that is a means of income. That's a life-changing, that's a way to change life. And for them, they think it's worth it. But overall, when you think about the cultural aspects and the representation that creates for young girls, they say, oh, man, that's a real-life job. So why go to school for 10 years to become a doctor when I could just get with the right dude, get these booty shots, and I could get on VH1 and start a new career? You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. But to certain women, they look at that as going straight from high school to the NBA. You know, it's like they are looking at that the wrong way. And it has turned into a society, and society has turned into a place where people glorify that, where we think it's okay for you to get used for your body. And no, you're not a prostitute per se, but you're getting paid to go and not wear clothes. And people are starting to feel like that's acceptable. Like, I can wear these booty shorts, I can wear these jeans and go parade around in heels, and these men are going to pay $200 to get into the club to see me. Like, that has turned into a career for a lot of these people. And when you think about it, it goes back to the slavery mindset. It's like when sisters used to get paraded around for the white slave masters and they would become bed winches for their friends and things of that nature. And it created an environment where that behavior is unacceptable, and mainstream media has created a new revenue stream just off the exploitation of the physical traits.
And that reminds me of the Common Song's Retrospect of Life, where he says, you know, I think it's $365 and worth your soul. And, you know, but I feel like, you know, we as brothers and as men play a huge role in that, because it's one of those things where if there's no supply, I mean, you know, if there's no demand, then there's no supply, right? So if we weren't demanding that and feeding into the beast, so to speak, then do our sisters really feel like this is something that they need to do? If, you know, we as men were in a different state of mind, if we weren't valuing and putting so much value on the physical as opposed to the mental aspects of what our sisters had to offer, then do they, and I'm talking about if we were able to do this on a wide scale, then do they feel like I need to strip, or I have to make a twerk video, or I have to, you know, get lip injections, or whatever the case may be, in order to be appealing? Because at the end of the day, most of the times it's all, you know, in an attempt to meet a guy or to be appealing to men in most cases. And so, I look at it from the perspective of, you know, what are we doing that's causing them to continue to feel like this is a behavior that has to be acted out? And then furthermore, what can we do to reverse that trend, to say, okay, this is what we have been doing to make them feel that way, but now what can we do to make them feel differently and make them feel that we respect their minds and, you know, are more interested in them as individuals, as people, as opposed to just a physical being and a sexual object?
Places like World Star Hip Hop, Media Takeout, even TMZ and Bop, those kind of sites to a certain extent, they kind of glorify these video vixens and women with these unnatural bodies, and they make sisters feel like, hey, that's appreciated. That's what men want. So I agree with you. That's what kind of creates the demand for it. But as far as what we need to do culturally, like as brothers, as men, we need to get to the point where we can glorify, where we start glorifying and appreciating our natural sisters, sisters that no matter what their skin tone, dark, brown, light, we appreciate them for who they are, and we glorify them. There's so much natural beauty within Black women. We don't need the extra assets and the fake plastic injections and all of that stuff. There's no need for it, because most of our women, they're attractive on their own. And when we get to the point where we are mature enough to kind of, hey, look beyond that, and we glorify that, that'll create the demand for more women to be them natural selves, to be their natural selves, because we put so much emphasis on the not real woman, the fake woman with the airbrushed photo that gets a million likes on Instagram, or the woman that really looks like herself that gets 2 likes. We need to do a better job of appreciating them instead of glorifying the ignorance. As I always say, it's like that's one of the worst things we do in society is glorify the ignorance. We make too much of a big deal over nonsense.
Absolutely. And if you want to catch up, speaking of Instagram, if you want to catch up with us on Instagram, my Instagram and Twitter is the same. It's the capital TFOS _, and it's the same on Instagram and Twitter. What's yours, Jay?
You can catch me at WorldwideWells_ on Twitter, and Worldwide Well on Instagram.
All right. I think that's key, though, because one of the things that growing up, and it's so true that, you know, brothers always were taught, and I can only speak for myself and the people around me in my neighborhood in Detroit, where, you know, we talk about, all you were told to be was a pimp. All you were talked about, man, you got to be a player. You got to do this. You got to do that. You know, just keeping the extra 100. And And so that fed into the disrespect. You know, that fed into, you know, you starting to feel like, maybe I, you know, should have as many women as I can and do this, that, and the third, because that's what was fed into us. And so we really need to start reversing that trend. And so what we want to do now is really, as we come to a close, is talk about some solutions, Wells, because that's the most important part about it. You know, so we talked about, you know, a few things today, verbal and mental abuse, images in the media, and exploitation of our women. What do you propose as a couple of solutions here that we could do now to get this moving in a positive direction?
A couple of quick solutions that you can do on a day-to-day that any brother can pick up. First, don't yell at your woman. Speak to her. Talk to her. She is your support system. She is your strength. There's no reason for you to yell at her. I guarantee, and that's in any relationship, yelling at someone will not get you the desired result. And second, if you have a daughter, you want to show her positive images of male-female relations. You want to show her, you want to show your daughter that you show love, that you can be affectionate, that you're man enough to be a provider and also love your woman. And I think with those, with positive images in the home, if we start creating positive images in the home, that'll go a long way in raising generations of people, of women that have their own self-worth. Tell your child that you love them every day. Tell your woman that you love them in front of your child. But show those kind of things, because one, something I grew up around, I could never remember seeing that kind of image. That's something that I kind of grew into seeing from being around other people. And that's something I said, wow, I appreciated that, because that's not something that I personally was able to see.
Absolutely. I think those are wonderful points. I would offer that, you know, be intentional about everything that you do. Be intentional about being a role model for other brothers. You know, if you live by that creed, then carry that energy with you everywhere that you go, because whether you know it or not, other brothers are watching and they are paying attention to what you do. So the better you treat our sisters in front of others, the better you treat your wife, your sister, whoever it may be, the better other people will really see that and feed off of that. And I think that's key, because you never know who's watching, and you have to carry yourself the same way in each form. And also, one of the main things that, you know, I think is extremely important and that we cannot, you know, we cannot understate enough is being able to hold other brothers accountable. You know, if you see one of your family members or friends doing something that's completely, you know, just reprehensible and just act in a complete fool, then you have to be willing to say, hey, bruh, you know, the way you talked to her was kind of a little sideways, you know.
Exactly.
You know, if you came at it this way next time, then maybe it would be better, you know. So I think, you know, those are a couple of things that if you started to institute, it would go a long way. And those are things that you can start doing today and you can start doing now, and you don't have to wait and go to some, you know, FICA Power rally to get that started. So once again, that was our first, you know, show, and we want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back at the same time next week, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Jay, do you have anything else to say? You got 10 seconds left.
Really quickly, just want to say that keep in mind, you do not have to be in an organization to be a mentor. It takes 30 seconds. You see your brother on the street, tell him something positive. You see your brother disrespecting this woman, tell him something positive. Positive reinforcement is the way to go. We can do nothing through spreading negativity. That's all I got.
All right, it just ended, bro.
I'm about to click off.